John chapter 1. We are having our prayer bands and classes tonight at the usual time. So do keep that in mind and come out at those times. We will continue to omit the kids' singing time. We will get that back in. We just feel led of the Lord to just get back to a few Sundays here at the end of the year where we just have our regular schedule and nothing. The simplicity of our regular schedule, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, is a great blessing to me. I enjoy when we have that simplicity. But we will get that back one way or another in the near future. The Gospel of John, chapter 1. We'll begin with verse number 4. Read to verse number 14. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world was made by him, the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. But the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We looked at this passage of Scripture last Sunday morning and preached on the subject, the Word. The Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And that Word is a name for Jesus Christ. In the beginning, Christ was. In the beginning, Christ was with the Father. He was the Son of God. In the beginning, the Word was God. Not a misprint, not a misstep. Christ was God, and in the beginning, not in the beginning, but we're told that there was a time in verse number 14 that the Word, Jesus Christ, who was in the beginning, was made flesh, plainly identifying Jesus as God manifest in the flesh. In verse number 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. And down in verse number 4, it says, in him, in the Word, was life. And the life was the light of men. The message that we want to preach this morning, God being our helper, is simply entitled, The Light. The Light. The Gospel of John, as we explained last week, is the most evangelistic of the four Gospels. Each Gospel gives us a different perspective, if you would, on God. In Matthew, Christ is portrayed more as the king. Mark, he's portrayed more as the servant. Luke, he's portrayed more as the Son of Man. In the Gospel of John, he's portrayed more as the Son of God. His deity, his divinity, the fact that Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. And the Gospels are usually defined as good news. And it's good news for us to be able to understand that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning, Christ was manifest as God, manifest in the flesh. And I said this last week, I'm pretty sure. You may not have a whole lot of ability when it comes to understanding that. But you will in time, and you will grow in time if you give it time. But you don't have to always understand things completely before you believe them. And that's certainly the case when it comes to the divinity of the deity of Jesus Christ. We may not be able to understand how God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit are one. There's one God, and yet there's three. Three distinct beings, three distinct persons. We may not understand completely how in the world God could become flesh in the person of Jesus Christ, come to give himself a sacrifice for us. We may not understand that, but we must believe that. And whenever we waver or our faith is weakened on the subject, we must commit ourselves to believe, to keep on believing. In the beginning was the Word, and in him was life, and that life was the light of men. The Bible tells us here in the Gospel of John, as well as other places, that Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. In verse number 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 6 through 9, and there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. Notice that capital L, that uppercase L, because this is giving us the word light as a title or as a name for Jesus Christ. He was called the Word in verse number 1. Here he's called the light. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, L-I-G-H-T, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light. Jesus was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Jesus is the light. Jesus is the light of the world. In chapter 8 of John, John chapter 8, verse number 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, here's from the mouth of Jesus Christ himself, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. We told you that John's gospel is built around seven miracles in particular, seven important I am statements. And here in verse number 12, I think you find the second of those important I am statements, where Jesus Christ declares he is the light of the world. That's such a profound statement. Who is saying it? Jesus is. What's he declaring? He was something. He was. What was he declaring himself to be? The light. That's powerful. Without him, there is no light. Physical light, spiritual light. Without Jesus, there is no light. He is the light. Then he is the light of the world, the whole world. No matter where you look in this world, Jesus is the light of the world. And over in chapter 12 of John's Gospel, John chapter 12, verse 44 through 46. Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me." See, it kind of goes back and forth with what John tells us in the opening verses. You believe in me, well, it's not really believing in me, but it's believing in him who sent me. Well, who was it that sent him? It was the Father. It was God. So these truths are interwoven throughout John's gospel. He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. Nobody's ever seen God, and yet we're told here, yes, some have seen God, because how? They saw Christ. They saw Christ. You see these truths as they jump out? And notice what Jesus goes on to say in verse number 46. "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus himself declared himself to be the light of the world. Without him, there is no light. As I said, there's no physical light without Christ. There's no spiritual light without Christ. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the light the world needs. And that's seen throughout the Gospel of John. In chapter 1 again, back in our text, in our reading, verse number 5, "And the light shineth in the darkness." Well, the light came into the world. And what does it tell us about the light coming into the world? The light came into the world to shine in a dark place. The world was a dark place. And the world needed this light that Jesus Christ was, that Jesus Christ brought into this world. "And the light shineth in darkness." Don't think of this world as a pretty nice place. It's an evil place. It's a dark place. Man's hearts are dark and filled with darkness. Man in his natural state is depraved, broken, not able to discern. Jesus is the light of the world, and the world needs this light. The world needs this light. "And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." That tells us something about the dark world in which Jesus Christ came. He came as a light into a dark world because the world was a dark place and needed the light. But then it says the darkness comprehended it not. Interesting word, interesting verse of scripture. One that the more I study it, the more I have questions what actually is being stated here. "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." We're speaking about Christ. "And the light shined in the darkness." The light of Jesus Christ came into this world, shined in the darkness of this world, and the darkness comprehended it not. I see that as saying, okay, he came into the darkness of this world, and the darkness didn't understand. The darkness could not perceive. The darkness could not see who he was, cannot see, could not see that he was the light of the world, and in being the light of the world, he was God manifest in the flesh. But I've seen so many things concerning this word comprehend that also leads us to believe that the light shined in the darkness and the darkness could not prevail against it. The darkness could not keep it. The darkness could not apprehend it, could not control it. When Jesus Christ came as the light of the world, he came into a dark place and the darkness could not understand it, could not perceive it, could not grasp it, and couldn't do anything against it because he is God. He's all powerful. He's omnipotent. He is the light of the world. And we go down, if you would, to verse 10 and 11. "He was in the world," speaking about Christ. As John 1:1 tells us, "In him was life, as we have seen plainly stated in verse number 4. And that life was the light of men. And in verse 10 and 11, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He was here. He became flesh. The light of the world came into this old, dark, sinful world, and the world couldn't receive him, could not understand him. That's how bad the condition was in this world. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Probably more than anything, it's speaking about the Jews. He came first and foremost to the Jewish people, and the Jewish people refused to accept him, refused to receive him. They refused to believe him. They cried out that he be crucified. They cried out, we'll not have him to rule over us. The light came. The light was Christ. Christ came as the light of the world. And the world, though made by him, knew him not. Though he came to his people, the Jews, which all Old Testament history was preparing them for his coming, when he actually came, they didn't get it. They refused to get it, and they cried out for his crucifixion. Look in chapter 3, verse 16, as our starting point. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now notice here, we're so familiar with these verses, particularly verse 16. In John chapter 1, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. John chapter 1, he came into this world, and the world understood it not, wouldn't receive him either. Verse 19 says, and this is the condemnation. What is the condemnation? That light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. This is the condemnation. This is the judgment of the world. He came into this world, and the world discerned not. The world understood him not. The world refused to believe him. They would not receive that light that we read about in chapter 3. Light came into the world, but what does the world love? The world loves darkness rather than light. Wouldn't have anything to do with Jesus Christ. So Jesus is the light of the world. The world needs this light. That is Jesus Christ. You need this light. And when I say you need this light, I'm talking about everybody. Those of us who are saved, we need this light. And we're saved because of this light. And God commanded this light to shine in our hearts, that we might understand and receive him as our Savior. But we need this light. We need to walk in this light. We need to behave ourselves as children of the light. The lost that are here this morning, you need this light. You need the light of Jesus Christ. He is the light of the world, and the world needs this light, and everybody here needs this light. I want to consider four meanings of his being the light of the world. First thing that means, Jesus is the light of the world, and the whole world needs this light, is that the world has no other light, and they're not going to find any other light but Jesus. The light of the world means the world has no other light. The choice, if you want to put it in those terms, the choice is either Jesus or darkness. There are no third options, fourth options, or other options. Jesus is the light of the world, and the world has no other light, and there will be no other light given outside of Jesus Christ. As he said in chapter 14, verse number 6, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's the only way. Nobody comes to God lest they do it through Christ. Well, that's because he's the light. That's because the light has come. That's because in the beginning was Christ, and Christ was with God, the Son of God. And the Word was God. He was God. The Word was made flesh. And in John 14, verse 6, there's no other light going to be given. There's no other light available. He is the light. Another definition we would give to the meaning of the light of the world is that all of the world needs Jesus as a light. I see in this thought that he came unto his own. He came unto the Jewish people as he had been promised and as the Messiah had been prophesied for hundreds and hundreds and thousands of years. He came into this world and the Jews rejected him. And then we see not that he switched and he became then the light to the Gentiles, but he came into this world, the light of the world. He came to be the light unto the Jews. He also came to be the light unto the Gentiles. And he is the light of the world. He lights everybody that's in it. Jew or Gentile, male or female, young or old, rich or poor. There's nobody here who doesn't need Jesus as a light, as your light. Third thought that comes to mind, the meaning of Jesus being the light of the world, I think we can find in that thought the fact that Jesus is what? The Creator. Isn't that what we saw last week? All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Verse number 3. So he was God. He was with God. He came into this world. The Word became flesh. God came into the world. Came into the world as the light of this world. And the world was made by him. Not only was the world made by him, but folks, the world was made for him. It was made for Jesus Christ. And so he's the light of the world because as the light of this world, he was made to be honored and glorified. He doesn't have trouble adjusting. He doesn't have trouble fitting in. There's no way of seeing God not able to have importance because the world was made for him. That's another thing that is considered in his being the light of the world. The world was made by him. The world was made for him. He owns it. So he's the light because the light was made to fit in this world. The world was made for this light that we're speaking about. The meaning of his being the light of the world means the world has no other light but him. All of the world and everyone in it needs Jesus as a light. He's the light of the world because this world was made for him. is made for him to come, be honored and glorified. And one day, as I think about this, he's the light of the world. This world will be filled with the perfect light of God, with the perfect light of Jesus Christ. He's perfect. I'm not implying anything other than that. But he's not in this world yet, and we don't experience him yet as the perfect light. How do I know that? Because everywhere you look, there's shadows. Everywhere you look, there's darkness. You go into a building, doors are all shut. You go to where a room is in that building and the doors are all shut. What's inside? Darkness. That's imperfect light. That's imperfect light. You have a drawer and a piece of furniture, a piano bench. What do we know is inside that piano bench? Well, there's some song books, there's some printed material, and there's a special fancy thing for dusting the piano, and there's other things that are there. But what else do we know is there? Darkness. That's imperfect light. And the Bible tells us that there's coming a day when Jesus Christ shall be here and he will be perfect light. There will be no shadows. There will be no darkness. There will be no rooms where when the doors are shut, there's not light. There'll be no cabinets. There'll be no drawers where when they're closed, they're not filled with light. Revelation makes it very plain in chapter 21 about this light that I'm speaking about. It's hard to comprehend. But the meaning that he is the light of this world means the world has no other light. There'll not be another one given. All the world and everybody in it needs Jesus as a light. The world was made for this light, to bring honor and glory to this light, so he has to be the light of this world. And one day, all darkness is going to be gone. All the works of darkness are going to be gone. Even all the sons of darkness are going to be gone. And we talk about eternity, and we talk about heaven. We talk about a time when Jesus Christ receives the honor and glory that he was intended to receive as we open up the Gospel of John. And there comes a day of perfect light where the works of darkness, all shadow of turning, and all the sons of darkness are gone. Why do you need to be saved? If you're here and you're not saved, why do you need to be saved? Because there's coming a day when this light that has come into the world, which is Jesus Christ, is going to come in perfection. And when he comes in perfection, all darkness goes away. All dark works go away, and all dark places go away, and all the sons of darkness go away. And those that are sons of darkness who are not saved when Jesus Christ comes for this blessed time, we'll hear something to the effect of his saying, "Depart from me. I don't know you. I never knew you." If you're a child of darkness and don't think you need to be saved, well, let me warn you, there's coming a day when the Son of God, the light of the world, is going to come in perfect lightness, perfect light. And everything that's dark, shady, and questionable are going to be removed. You need to see this light. As I've read there in John 1:1 and verse 4, we read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." We read in John chapter 8 again, John chapter 8, Verse number 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He's plainly declaring he is the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I am the light of the world. Those that follow me shall not walk in darkness. You're going to walk in light, and you're going to have the light of life. But notice over to verse number 30. And he spake these words, as he spake these words, many believed on him. As Jesus Christ came, the light of the world so desperately needs this light. It needed it then, it needed it now. It's always going to need it till that day of perfect light comes. If you're here and you're lost, you need this light. You desperately need this life. This light, you definitely need to know Jesus Christ came into this world. He plainly declares he is the light of the world. And over the course of his ministry, the numbers came and went. Who heard things they didn't like, who he taught things to that they didn't want to believe. And some believed it and some didn't. And as he repeats himself here in verse number 12 as being the light of the world, we see that at this point many believed on him. Many believed on him. You've heard about Jesus Christ. I think it's safe to say you've heard about Jesus Christ all your life. He's not a new being, not a new concept. In the beginning was, before the heavens and the earth were made, Jesus was already existence. He was eternal. He's nothing new. He's been around and he came into this world. He came as the light of this world. And you've heard about him and you've heard about him and you've heard about him. But will this be the moment that you believe he is the light? If you receive this light, you'll walk in this light. You'll have this light. As we have said so many times of late, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Though you've heard it before, though you've heard it many times before, though maybe you have given lip service to believing it, or you tell people that you believe in Jesus, or you consider yourself a Christian, but you've never ever received Christ as your Lord and Savior, right now, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. He's the light of the world. He's come to give light. He's come to give life. Go back to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Verse 35 and 36. Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. Listen to what Jesus Christ says here. And as much as possible, I'm not going to debate it whether or not it's possible. As much as possible, think about Christ being here today, the light of the world. He's here. As much as possible, hear. May God help you to hear Jesus saying in verse 36, right now while we're here today, while you have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. That is as true today as it's ever been, and will continue to be as true today as it's ever been until Jesus Christ comes once and for all and brings in the day of perfect light. Jesus is still being preached. Jesus is still being taught. Jesus is still being lifted up. Jesus Christ is still the light of this world. And while you have light, and while you have opportunity, and while Jesus is here, and He's in our midst this very hour, as Jesus is here saying, come unto Me. Come unto Me. While you have light, believe in the light, that you might be children of the light. I interpret this very simply. You become a child of light, you become a child of God, you become a child of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by believing in Jesus Christ. By believing in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is speaking out, and He's going into everybody's ear here. A lot of you, it's going to go in one ear, it's going to go out the other. A lot of you are saying, yeah, I've heard that before. A lot of you are going to dismiss the presence of the light. But Jesus is whispering into everybody's ear, may God help you this very hour to believe it. He says, while you have light, while you have opportunity, and here you sit, you have opportunity. Believe in the light. And if you'll believe in the light, you'll be a child of the light. Came across this poem in one set of notes. I don't guess it's a poem, it's a whatever it is. I'm going to close with this reading. It says, light looked down and saw darkness. I will go down, said the light. Life looked down and saw death. I will go down, said life. Love looked down and saw hatred. I will go down, said love. So light came down and conquered darkness. So life came down and conquered death. So love came down and conquered hatred. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Let's stand together. Close our service.